This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
A Nolan Wells bombshell report tonight. Does it reveal new witnesses? And because of the new timeline report, is there a timeline shift in what happened the afternoon and evening Nolan Wells seemingly disappears, his body found washed up at Horn Island? Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. What is in that autopsy?
Now I really want to see the other autopsy to see, is there trauma to the body? Is there something that happened?
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
I have no doubt that what we're listening to and what she did is credible.
Not only has the timeline been analyzed by the Cajun Navy, the U.S. Cajun Navy, based on all sorts of statistical data, new photos are emerging. Take a look at this photo before we go to the Cajun Navy. Look at this. Check out what you're seeing. Look at all the boats surrounding where Nolan was. Leave up the photo out to Caitlin Becker, senior national correspondent, New York Post, star of New York Postcast, their new podcast. Caitlin, what are we seeing?
Well, what we're seeing here comes from this new report from the United Cajun Navy, and you're seeing several boats strung together. This is one of the first images that we've seen of this certain configuration of boats there. They're all identified, one of which was the boat that Nolan came out there on. There's several others kind of anchored with it and tied up, which begs the question of where was Nolan when this photo was taken, because it's unclear if he's actually in it. What time was this photo actually taken? So what you're seeing here is, as you said, a potential pool of witnesses.
Hey, Caitlin, look at this. There's boat number one. There's boat X. There's boat number two. There's boat number three. And there's a boat from which the photo is taken. Now, look in the water. There much has been made. Nolan Wells was drinking. Okay, well, apparently everybody was. They all have containers, open containers in the water. Okay, as far as I know, that's not a felony. Boat number one, full of people. Boat X, full of people. Boat number two, full of people. Boat number three, full of people. People on the boat from which the photo was taken. Some of these boats tied together. You know what that means in my world, Caitlin Becker, joining us in the New York Post? Let me see, Caitlin, please. That means witnesses. See, when I look at that, I see witnesses. Other people say, hey, there's people having a good time. I see witnesses. Do you see all those people?
And a lot of them.
Who were they? Have they been spoken to? Have they been polygraphed? What can they tell me?
That is the question, right? We don't know from an investigative standpoint who has been spoken to, exactly who is in this photo, and what they have or haven't told law enforcement, because there hasn't been really any transparency there. But from what our reporting has showed, there have been dozens of people who have spoken to law enforcement as witnesses. But Nancy, we don't know if it's any of these people that you're seeing in this little cove area right here. And the timing, I think, is really important, because these images are taken right around, I think, but the timeline's about 3:30-ish, 4:30-ish. When the boat that Nolan came out there on leaves and starts taking on water, that's one of the pegs for the timeline. When these photos were actually taken, that is a peg for a timeline. But what we don't know is where Nolan is. There he is. You can see that image right there. But we don't know is where Nolan was when that first image that we saw with all of those boats kind of tied together, when that was taken.
You are seeing a photo obtained by our friends at the United Cajun Navy. And speaking of the United Cajun Navy, joining me now is Brian Trasher, Vice President, United Cajun Navy. And for all of you attacking the United Cajun Navy, let's see that aerial footage they provided us. This is from the Cajun Navy describing their search, their aerial search. They spotted Nolan Wells' body They have been integral in the search for Nolan Wells and helping elucidate the facts as we know them. Brace yourself, Trasher. Everybody else is getting death threats. You might as well join the party. To you, Brian Trasher, the United Cajun Navy has come up with a timeline. Now, did I hear Caitlin Becker from the New York Post correctly that that photo where the boats are named, Boat 1, Boat 2, Boat 3, and Boat X, is that from you guys, the United Cajun Navy?
First of all, I want to thank you for calling this report what it is, and that's a timeline. And some people have called it an investigative report, and that's not accurate because, as you know, we're not investigators. And what we did, Nancy, was we asked our followers, say, hey, if anybody was there that day, you have pictures, videos, whatever, send it to us just so we can go through it, see if there's anything relevant. We took all that information and compiled it into a just one digestible report of things we thought were relevant and could be helpful. Maybe they're not. Maybe law enforcement's already seen all this and it's nothing new to them. But we just wanted to be transparent about what we received. So going back to your question, the pictures that we received, we did not, as an organization, take any of these photographs. These are all images that we received from people who were trying to help us out and trying to help Nolan's family out.
So you asked the public for help, and you got it. You got a treasure trove of photos, and I find this one significant. Guys, we've got an all-star panel, and I would like the all-star panel to look at their screens, because I've talked about this before, Brian Trasher, and I'm frankly fed up with attacks on the United Cajun Navy. They're doing something, which is more than all of the haters can say. They're doing something. They have amassed evidence. They have created the timeline to the best of their ability. They have shared it with us, unlike the autopsy that is complete. It's being kept secret from us. That said, they're helping. Why trash them? That's, you know, I'm not a shrink. I can't answer that. Let's look at this photo and determine what, if anything, we can discern. Brian, you and I have talked many, many times, and I told you about a serial killer I finally convicted on one case. The jury convicted him. And I proved a lot because of one earring I found in a particular location. The victim was wearing an earring, and the other earring had been sliced out of her ear, and I found it somewhere else, and I learned a lot because of where it was. Now, don't even bother to tell me that this photo that you have produced is not probative of something. The cluster of boats. Number one, I see a lot of witnesses. Trasher, what do we know what time this photo was taken?
We don't know definitively times on all these because even though they're time stamped, it could be a time when it was screenshotted, stamped, not necessarily, you know, the original photograph. So we were very careful to denote that in our report that we can't verify timelines. Although based on, you know, shadows and positions and things like that, we can determine that some of these, as noted, are taken in the late afternoon. One of the things I thought was interesting about some of these photos we got, Nancy, was that a lot of the photos we had seen before were people like in waist deep water. Well, some of the photos we provided show people up, you know, water up to their chest, almost to their neck. And that's not really wading. That's treading water, in my opinion. And that I thought might have been significant to know that that many people were, you know, perhaps enjoying some libations, but also in water that might have been a little too deep just to be playing in.
Good point. You know, you also said something else really smart, and I certainly do not want to rely on this, but sometimes you have to, you take the evidence as you find it, and you make the most of what you've got. You said you could tell this was late in the afternoon because of the shadowing. I wonder if the tide could tell me anything because how high up the water is, but these people holding drinks, they're not treading water, Trasher. They're standing there. These people are not treading water, and the water is up to their armpits. Is that the photo you're talking about as to where you think some of them are treading water, or are there other photos?
The photo at the top, yeah, you're right. It's about up to their armpit. I think there was one later in the report that that showed some of the kids. This is a screenshot of a social media post. And there's three boats visible, one fourth boat further in the distance, but a lot of kids on one boat, I say kids, young people on one boat, some on the boat, some in the water. And some of them, it looks, you know, maybe up to the armpit, but some of them, depending on their own height, it looks like it's, you know, I could see a girl holding something in her hand and the water looks to be pretty close to her neck. So that's pretty far out. Now, we've said several times that Horn Island has a very aggressive slope. So you can be in shallow water and deep water within just a few steps. And once you get into that deep water, you're not as able to keep your feet on the ground if a current comes and pulls you, or God forbid, a riptide comes and drags you. So that's why we thought it was significant to know that they were socializing in fairly deep water.
Can we go back to the main photo where the boats are numbered 1, 2, 3, X? Isn't it true, Brian Trasher, that these boats are easily identifiable by I call it a tail number, like you would a plane? Every boat has to be registered, or supposed to be registered. It has a number on it. It often has a name, like Triton. One was named Mac Daddy. There were other names. They're registered, and you know who the owner is, and the owner can tell us who was on the boat that day. Is that correct?
Theoretically, yeah. If you can make out the registration number or the name of the boat, if the vessel's name is registered, you know, along with the registration number. Usually that's sometimes only on a Coast Guard document, but sometimes on a state registration, you do put the boat name if it's asked for, or if you have one. So that is all possible. You know, I'm told, and we're asked to compare notes with the sheriff's office, which we're doing. But I was told that there's been a lot of people that have been contacted and interviewed. And there's a lot of people who were there that day that voluntarily came forward to tell what they know. And because they might have seen their boats and pictures, said, we might want to go ahead and call them, let them know, you know, where we were, who was with us, and what we know. So I commend those people for coming forward, because it's not always easy.
To Marie Pereira joining us, in addition to the Vice President of the United Cajun Navy, who has been there from the get-go trying to help solve the case. Marie Pereira, registered nurse, which is important. But she is a criminal defense attorney and domestic violence expert. She is a violence expert certified advocate. Marie, you saw that. All those people in my book are witnesses. One of them is saying at 7:30, Nolan was nowhere to be seen. Now, I want to see the video or the photo again, because you want to tell me that this guy, Nolan Wells, hit his head and drowned, and none of those people saw what happened? I find that really hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, and that's why it's extremely important that the law enforcement are not too proud to get help from the public. Like you said, if people are sending in videos, they should be using those videos to conduct further investigation. I'm praying that this is a situation like Brian Koberger, where the police department, they were being ragged and being called ranky-dink police, while all the time they were investigating and putting together a case against him. I hope that, because all the time they were saying, oh, what are they doing? It was I think the DA had a long, big beard, which wasn't very conducive to believing he knew what he was doing, but they knew what they were doing.
I know, it looked like Leonard Skinner sitting there. Hey, that video's from Officer Tatum's podcast. All this means witnesses to me. And do you remember in the Diddy case, there was actually a toll-free number for victims to call? There were that many victims, not that it helped at the trial. But that said, I think there needs to be a toll-free number. If you think you have evidence, dial the number. If you have photos like the United Cajun Navy is doing, they asked for the public's help. They got the public's help, and there's more to get. That's what is needed now. Every picture, every video. How often have cases been cracked when someone spots something in a picture they hadn't noticed before, or their memory is jogged by a photo or information they've seen online? I've pointed to this a million times, Brian Trasher, the Gabby Petito case. Her body would never have been found if it weren't for amateur sleuths. I believe their name is Red, Blue, and Methane. They were a couple out in the middle of nowhere in dispersed camping where there are no porta potties, no lights, no hookups, no anything. It's just you and the wild animals. I've camped in dispersed before. They're out there and they see a vehicle and they go, that's Gabby's Ford Transit. And they call authorities who would never have gone to this dispersed camping area. And they find her remains. That's how the case was cracked. Who knows what photo, what tip, United Cajun Navy or law enforcement or the Nolan Wells team might get that might crack this case wide open. So that said, Brian, how did you create this timeline? I find it very interesting.
So, first of all, you know, going back to your comment about internet sleuths, a lot of people consider themselves internet sleuths, but some people really are good. And there's one young lady who's helped us out on many cases who was very helpful in this case. I haven't asked her permission yet if I could say her name, but if she gives me permission and I come back on, I'll be happy to give her credit for all the help she gave us. But basically, what we did was we took, like I said, we took these pictures, we juxtaposed them to, you know, like Google Earth and satellite pictures of the island to try to determine exactly where they were. We looked at the initial coordinates called out from the, I think from the Coast Guard or from Marine Patrol when the missing persons report first went out, and basically just try to run these pictures against each other to say, okay, this boat's here now, it's not here later, you know, and again, just create an index. You know, we had to use some software to help us create the index of the pictures and make sure we put it into the best timeline we could. We included social media posts that, you know, may or may not have been definitive, but this was happening in real time. So we thought it was important to put those up there to create context. And so again, like just trying to, you know, our goal was to take what we've received, put it into a digestible format that just about anybody could understand, hopefully. And if it's helpful, great. If it's not, then I don't think no harm, no foul, you know.
To Dave Matt, Crime Stories investigative reporter, based on this timeline, and it may be refined as the days go forward. How does it shift the timeline? Because there is a group of people fighting at 5 p.m. Who are they? The friends say they leave at 4:31. That should be able to be verified through GPS. 5 p.m., Nolan, according to them, is still at Horn Island. Is he? Because by 7:30, witness states, Nolan nowhere in sight. So where was he? He wasn't floating in the water. He wasn't on the shore. If he had, hold on, Dave, to Joe Scott Morgan, if he had drowned, wouldn't he be floating in the water?
Perhaps. I've seen bodies in the immediate that will go directly to the bottom. And there are those that do in fact float. So a lot of it is going to depend upon the temperature of the water many times. A lot of it's going to depend upon, is there anything else out there that could, let's see, how can I put this, that could in fact impede the body's ability to float to the top, like beneath a boat. And as you can see, there are a lot of boats out there. So if in fact that had occurred, you can actually have bodies that will be caught beneath other vessels. I've worked cases like that where they're, you know, they were looking around for someone and they couldn't find them because the whole area was surrounded by vessels. And so there are a lot of elements that go into this, Nancy.
The photo we keep showing you is on page 12 of the United Cajun Navy report. It shows three boats and more anchored side by side, boat number 3, the Palm Beach, and also the Triton, we believe, which is the boat that took Nolan to Horn Island. It's also the boat that reportedly leaves, according to the occupants, without Nolan. They claim they begged him to board their vessel, but he said no. Let me understand this. According, Caitlin Becker, according to the mysterious Katie, not that mysterious because her sister has posted and we've obtained her photo, we think. She says he left with his friends. They say he stayed with her. Okay, that's a problem.
Yep. That's a problem. And there are also quite a few friends that he had come out with. So the Triton that he was on, there were three or four people on that particular boat. That's the one that he had come out on and the one that his friends say, we asked him to get back on the boat. He didn't get back on the boat. His phone was on the boat. We left. We took on water. We needed help. He said he was going to stay to talk to this mysterious, as you said, Katie. Mysterious Katie says that she talked to him for a minute. It was no big deal. Then his friends called him back, and that's where he went, and she just assumed he went back on the boat with his friends. The issue I think that we're running into here is that the friends weren't just the four that you're seeing right here. There were multiple boats, three boats full of friends that came out. So could he have been going back to a second boat full of his friends while the Triton was gone, or were they referring to the Triton itself? That, I think, is where the biggest bit of confusion lays.
Well, here's the problem, Nancy, is I keep hearing friends, but you realize that Nolan, he went out to Horn Island on a boat. You know, Warren Hudson has talked a lot. He's been with Officer Tatum talking about, you know, his best friend Nolan and the whole thing. But first of all, Warren did not go to Horn Island on the same boat as Nolan Wells. And we have heard over and over from parents and friends, he would, you know, run with the one that got you there, right? So Nolan went with one boat and they expected he would return on the same boat. Yet we're now finding out that was never the plan. He was never going back on the same boat that took him to the island. So when we talk about this group of friends, Nancy, they were scattered on three or four different boats. And we keep focusing on the one with the bilge pump problem. But now, what boat was Nolan Wells supposed to be going back to the mainland? We know he didn't ride with Warren Hudson to the island. So what was he supposed to be on?
Brian Trasher joining us, Vice President, United Cajun Navy, on the case from the very beginning. Brian, do we know the time of the CETO call made from the Triton?
We do. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know it's been reported, and obviously the CETO would have the exact time of that recording and stuff in their archives. But it seems like it was after 3 o'clock, before 4:30. And we know that the tow was canceled because somebody got in touch with Bart Edmondson, who ended up towing the boat himself, being a good Samaritan. Of course, now that poor guy is getting, you know, raked over the coals just for being a good, you know, what we try to tell everybody to be, neighbor helping neighbor.
Now, didn't the grandpa call and cancel the tow?
Yeah, I think that I saw that report as well, and it may have been that somebody contacted him and said, hey, we got somebody to tow us. So maybe he called because he had a better signal and said, hey, they don't need it anymore. Again, these are all kind of, you know, the things that were already out there. I don't think we included too much about that in our report because it had been reported on so much. But I also just wanted to point out too, on the photo on page 14, this is one that we included, even though we could, there's a young man that matches Nolan's description. And I'm saying it that way because we can't verify that it's him in this picture. And he's partially in it because there's a girl blocking him, but it's a young, slender African-American male wearing blue swim trunks from what you could see in the picture. According to the person that submitted that photo, it was taken at approximately 4:50 p.m. Central Time on July 4th, which would have been after the GPS data says that the Triton had left Horn Island. Now, that's only relevant if this young man in the picture actually turns out to be Nolan. We never could verify it, but we thought it was important enough to at least include as a possibility.
You are now seeing the photo that Brian Trasher from United Cajun Navy has provided on page 14 of their new timeline report. We're blowing it up. We see 1, 2, 3 at the forefront, 3 white females in bikinis, 1 white male walking along. Now, beside the woman in the bikini on the right, I see 2 people. One looks like a female furthest away, but between the white female and the other female, there is an African-American male. That does not look like Nolan Wells to me. Okay, I'm going to have to bring in NASA to enhance this. Brian Trasher, does this guy have facial hair? That's not Nolan.
It's, I mean, again, we couldn't verify, but we could tell that it was an African-American male on the beach wearing blue swim trunks. We thought that was enough to say, okay, it's possible, but we did.
Aren't those deep, dark blue?
It looks like it, but Nancy, I don't know if this picture has been enhanced. I don't know if it's been filtered. You know what I'm saying? So again, that's the whole reason why we couldn't corroborate, but it was like, okay. And also too, this does create a good picture of a flotilla of boats. So where if we had, we were looking for a particular one, you know, it was one, a good one to hang on to. So again, fully disclosing that we could not definitively say whether that was him or not. Probably not.
But we need it for the investigation. We need it. And you provided it.
Rule it out.
You got it.
Use it to rule it out.
Okay, so is this Nolan? If it is Nolan, this is at 450-450 and proves he's still on the island when the other boat, the Triton, leaves. I don't think this is Nolan. But that's just my own two eyes, 2020 and 2018. It needs to be enhanced. Joining us now, veteran trial lawyer out of the South Carolina jurisdiction, John Mobley, the founder of the John Mobley Law Firm. See, a lot of people would say, oh, this is a nightmare, all these witnesses. I would have a field day interviewing each witness separately. It's like a bonanza. What do you make of what you're hearing, Mobley?
Well, you know, Nancy, I got to call it like I see it. I review the support in detail. I don't think it puts any points on the board. I don't think it moves the needle. If anything, I think it shows everyone that has opinions out there how difficult it is to find reliable information. Because one thing I will have to say about the support, although I didn't find it particularly useful, is that, you know, it sourced all of its information, you know, and unlike a Netflix documentary where people will form opinions on second and third hand information, it would say, this person said this, but this person didn't witness it firsthand. This person repeated what someone else said. Or it said this person made this statement on Facebook. I mean, even the digital information, the photos, those aren't reliable because number one, like they say, you know, you can't corroborate the timestamp. It could be the timestamp could be when the photo was screenshot versus taken. Or even the last one we looked at, they're saying they can't say it was reliable because it could have been enhanced, you know, with the color manipulated. So I think it just goes to show how difficult it is to find any real reliable information on this case.
Mobley, no offense, but you're wasting my time. I got 1 hour tonight, and you just wasted almost 1 minute of it. Every investigation starts somewhere. Let me just understand something. You have tried a lot of cases, right? That's what I was told.
A ton. And I won most of them.
Nothing like tooting your own horn. Bomp, bomp. That said, every investigation starts somewhere. Yes, I don't have the timestamp, but I can get the timestamp because I know now I know about the photo. You start somewhere. Then you start digging, and then you find out what time it was taken. Then you find out if it was enhanced. Then you find out, is that Nolan at 450 and the boat has left? You enhance that audio we keep playing. You find out if they're saying, Nolan, Nolan's dead, Nolan's... I don't know if that's real or not, but I can find out if it's real. So for you, a trial lawyer like yourself, in your own words, won most of them, you know... Evidence is not handed to you, Mobley, on a silver platter, on top of a Christmas tree. You have to find it. You have to investigate it. And that is the point of this timeline from the Cajun Navy. They're giving us a plethora, a cornucopia of evidence for us to start with. What? Don't waste another minute. Don't do it.
It takes you down a rabbit hole of information that may not be reliable. The best thing to do is to talk to
Man, who was paying you? Because it ain't me. We don't pay guests. Rabbit hole, my rear end. Objection, my rear end. A rabbit hole? That's like you get a list of witnesses and go, yeah, I don't have their addresses. Screw it. You have to find them. You have to find the people that took these pictures. You have to find the people that were on those boats after you ID the boats. Then you have to take them one by one by one and interview. You know what? I'm sending him to the corner. Let him think about what he just said. Trasher, that's a tiny taste of what you're about to get. Hey, Caitlin Becker joining us, senior national correspondent, New York Post, star of NY Postcast. That's her podcast. Caitlin, what do you make of the photos and the timeline created this far by the United Cajun Navy? Come on. It's something. We've got something. We're not getting anything from the government. We don't have the autopsy. We don't have any information. Nothing. They've gone radio silent.
It's exceptionally, exceptionally helpful to have these things laid out in this way with coordinates and times and pulling in some of the relevant social media information while also noting that it hasn't been verified. It's giving us, I think, the most comprehensive timeline that we could possibly have. I mean, not to push back, because I feel like you push back so much on that poor man, but the rabbit hole is the internet. The rabbit hole is reading every single person's theory. This is concrete information, and when it's not concrete, it says this hasn't been verified. This is at least giving me, from an investigative standpoint as a journalist, somewhere to focus my efforts, to focus my search. The thing that stands out to me are all of the people, like you said, potential witnesses, but also how similar everyone is dressed. They're all in bathing suits, and all the boats look pretty similar to me too. So that, to me, indicates that someone who's saying, I saw this person on this boat, I saw that person on that boat, might not be super clear on that, because as I'm looking at this image, everybody kind of looks the same, all the boats kind of look the same, which does muddy the waters even more and makes talking to them so critical.
I've got to work with you before I put you on the stand, girl. No. You are not getting up there and saying, they all look the same to me. No. We would get the name of the boats. We would find who was out on the boat that day from its owner, and I would ask them who's on the boat. I would not rely, no offense, on your boozy eyesight from 30 yards away. Okay, no offense,
Kate. Nance, neither would I. Neither would I.
But there are ways to, contrary to what Mobley just blurted out, there are ways to find these witnesses and nail them down. If that photo is Nolan Wells, and it doesn't look like Nolan to me, then he's on the island at 7 p.m. Okay, now let me remind everybody that the guys on the boat, the Triton, with Nolan, they're not charged with anything. They are presumed innocent. So don't be starting up the death threats and all that on them. We need them interviewed separately if they hadn't already been. Who knows what we can learn from them? Don't attack them. I want you to hear what one of them said, though, about the mysterious Katie.
I didn't wake up again until a little after 11 o'clock. And that was to my brother coming in the room being like, hey, Warren's trying to get a hold of you. Warren gets on the phone and he's just like, hey, man, he was like, hey, have you talked to Nolan, anything else? I was like, no, I haven't talked to him, man. He was with that girl last time I knew. And he was like, okay. He was like, man, we can't get a hold of him. We don't know where he's at. And I was like, man, it's Nolan. He's probably just out somewhere with that girl. Like, get a hold of the girl, you'll probably find Nolan.
Okay, right there, I'm getting a red flag. That's from the Officer Tatum podcast who joined us recently. That girl. The mysterious Katie. Remember, nobody who knew who she was. But then later, Dave Mack, do we learn that one of the guys on the boat had been texting with her and knew full well who it was? Where did the name Katie come from?
Katie was known to at least one person in the group, and that leads you to believe there were certainly more. There were a number of comments publicly made by friends of Nolan that backtracking, claiming they didn't know who Katie was, had never seen her before, and then you find out, yeah, well, not only did they know her, but they were texting around about her. So there's a lot of missing information here, Nancy, and it's why you've said all along, why are these guys not on a polygraph?
Marie?
Just because we're having a lot of people coming up with a lot of different theories, I agree with Caitlin, not every theory deserves the breath of air. It's not all true. I think it could confuse the search for justice when we're entertaining every single person who posts every single theory, even when it makes no sense. And I have to bring my friend out of probation and say that you can't, you know, go according to every single piece of information you get. It has to make sense to warrant the investigators taking time to investigate. And the fact that they're not sharing with us, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not doing it all. There's no law that says they have to share everything they're finding out with the public.
This is all unfolding as we go to air tonight. We wait for that toxicology report. We wait for the autopsy to be revealed. We wait for a witness list to be produced. At this hour, reports a grand jury is convening to amass evidence, much the way the Cajun Navy did. If you know or think you know anything regarding this case, dial 228-769-3063. 228-769-3063. There's been a lot of questions regarding this number. That is the number for law enforcement. We remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Bradley Link, Link County Sheriff's, Florida, just 28, gunned down in the line of duty, leaving behind a wife, now widow, Brittany. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Bradley Link. Thank you to our guests, but especially to you for being with us tonight as we search for the truth, aside from all the noise and the threats, the falsities, the enhancements, the alterations. The truth is there, and we will find it. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night, and until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.